Amen. Thank you all for that worship this morning. Somebody told me that as we're preparing, since it was so warm in here, said, I'm sure it'd be all right, enough people wouldn't mind if you take your tie off and roll your sleeves up. But let me just tell you, the more I get comfortable, the longer I preach, so I'll just keep the time. Somebody said, here, wear my jacket so you get out of here quicker. Amen. Some of you may be wondering, did Johnny forget to baptize the blonde that was up there? No, he did not. Jennifer has already been baptized by immersion, but when I suggested we do the whole baptize the whole family, she said, and I would love to be there if I can. I said, absolutely. I think it was a great picture, a great testimony for the whole family to be in the water at that time. So appreciate them doing that today, being willing to come do that. You know, we recognize Mother's Day, but I want you to know that ladies, even if you're not a mother, my wife is not have never given birth. If you've never given birth, we honor you too, and we recognize you too, because all women have their place of beauty and the place of service and serving us. And so we appreciate you, all women, today. Let me just say one word here. Next Sunday is my last Sunday here, so you get to come and you can cheer that on while you're here next Sunday. But you can encourage you to be here. I have a special message next week called Press On. And so I look forward to being with you today, this morning, and then again next Sunday for that one. So, but today, you can see the title of the message is Three Times a Lady. Yes, that's where I got it from. I came from the song that some of you are familiar with. Three Times a Lady. We're going to look at John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And so we'll get to those scriptures here in just a minute or so. But I wanted to let you know about the origins of Mother's Day. I don't know if you know this or not, but Mother's Day actually started in a small village in a small Virginia Methodist church back in the early 1900s. There was a lady, the idea of celebrating Mother's Day was originated from that church, and a woman by the name of Anna Javis wanted to recognize or set aside a Sunday to honor all mothers after her mother had previously passed away. And so that church celebrated, and other churches caught on. And then in 1914, the American Standard passed a resolution, and President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday of May to be Mother's Day. And so now you know the rest of the story, I guess, there. But we've been celebrating Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May since 1914, so a little over 100 years. And our scripture this morning is of Jesus and his mother. And we're going to be looking at three quality characteristics that are due our mother and the women in our lives. And so I'm going to ask if you would, if you're physically able, if you would, please stand with me as we read our scripture. I used to always do this, but since I break passages up a lot of times in my messages, I don't always. But I'm going to read the entire John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 at this reading. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now there were six stone jars, water jars, there for the Jewish rites of purification, each one of those jars holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Then he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master or the steward of the feast. So they took it. And when the master or the steward of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then they pour the poor wine or the lesser wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This is the first of his signs that Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning, for this time together, this time to honor the women in our lives and all our mothers. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to worship you, to celebrate you through song and through prayer, and pray that now, as Lord, as I deliver this, Lord, that it's your Holy Spirit that delivers the message to our hearts, and that we open our hearts and our minds to hear from you, to receive what it is that you want to speak to us individually about. And then we would respond as you call us to. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Now this, our passage today, has a lot to say to us about Jesus and his mother. In this passage, Jesus' mother was at this wedding, same wedding as Jesus was. And not only was she at the wedding, but she apparently had some role in planning and preparation of the wedding and the wedding ceremony, and also oversight of the banquet following the wedding service. Now, let me set the stage here for Jewish weddings of that day, the day of Jesus. Weddings were not a Sunday afternoon affair. They were more than just one afternoon. In fact, weddings lasted for 7 days. JB, are you ready for that? No. JB shaking his head, no. But weddings lasted for 7 days, the wedding feast. And following the ceremony, the newlyweds did not leave town for a getaway, private honeymoon. It was quite the opposite. They were actually paraded through town, and they would take the long routes around, parading through town, where they entertained, and then they would paraded through to their homes where they entertained guests for the next 7 days. But they were treated, the bride and groom were treated as royalty during those days. And while the bride and groom were in on the planning, I'm sure, the planning and the arranging of the week-long festivities, they were not the go-to people during the wedding. That was normally assigned to other family members, such as aunts or uncles and cousins, and maybe other family members. And the bride and the groom were treated as king and queen for this time, during that royal-type event, for those 7 days. And verse 1 says that Jesus' mother was there, so Mary was there. But then look at verse 2, it says, it goes on to say that Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding as well. I want you to notice it does not say that Mary was invited. She was a wedding crasher. No, she wasn't. She didn't crash the wedding. She was there. She was invited there. But not only invited, Mary held a position of responsibility. So this was probably one of Jesus' cousins or something like that was getting married. But she had a role to play there, an area of responsibility at this wedding feast. And then verse 3 indicates that they had run out of wine. This was a grave mistake, because to run out of any provisions needed to carry out that wedding feast for the entire 7 days would bring terrible humiliation on the groom, the bride, and their families as well. So you just did not run out of anything that you had provisions for. Hospitality was very sacred. It was almost a sacred duty, you might say, to the Jewish people and other lands as well, other nations at that time as well. And contrary to what many people think, and even when they read this, they say, see, right there, it says that they'd already run out of wine, and what the master had said to the bridegroom. But contrary to what many people believe or tell you, Jewish people did not drink to get drunk. It was just, a lot of the water was not purified to pure to drink. In fact, to get drunk at a wedding or at any public event was a disgrace. You disgraced yourself and shamed yourself. And a lot of times those people would be ostracized. It was a disgrace to get drunk in anything like that. Mary noticed that they had run out of wine, and she told Jesus. Now, Jesus' reply in verse 4 has garnered attention for years, maybe even centuries. Because verse 4 says, "Woman, what has this concern of yours to do with me?" Jesus asked. "My hour has not yet come." Now, the first word that draws attention is woman. Now, some of your versions, some of your translations may have had woman at the last word. Well, what has this concern of yours to do with me? Woman. It doesn't matter where that's placed. This word has drawn attention from people over the years. He says, "Woman, what have I to do? What does this of yours have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And what raises the question here is that Jesus would talk to his own mother this way. But you see, when we take that, we're taking that out of context, because he was not disrespectful to his mother. To us, this sounds very disrespectful. It sounds like a disrespectful comment. Woman? But that's not the way he used it. That's not what he said. When actually, this was just the opposite, because the word that he uses was a term, a word of great respect, give the highest respect you could give a woman, a female person. Using the word woman in this way to us sounds to be very discourteous, harsh, or even abrupt. But the word translated here is gunai. Okay, the Greek word is gunai, G-U-N-A-I, gunai. We don't have a word in the English language to translate that, to properly translate that, so we use the word woman. But gunai was the word that was used here, and it is referring to, it's the same word that he used, I'll put it this way, it's the same word that Jesus used when referring his mother to the Apostle John when he's hanging on the cross about to die. It's the term that the Roman Emperor Augustus uses in introducing and addressing the Queen of Egypt, the Queen of Egypt, Cleopatra. It's also the title that Odysseus used to address Penelope, his beloved wife. Gunai. So when he uses the one, when it's translated woman in our Bible, Jesus is using the word gunai, and this word was always used as a title of high respect. He's holding that person, that lady, in high respect, and he uses it of his mother. And that's what I want us to see this morning. The first thing I want to see this morning, we're going to look at, like I said, three different quality characteristics due our mothers. And they're actually, we're reciprocating them to our mothers. This is what I want us to see first. Jesus treated and addresses his mother, Mary, with the highest respect. Highest respect that he could. He was God. He did not have to use this unclaimed title. He did not have to use that with her. Yet he did. Why? To show us how to respect the women in our lives and our mothers. You see, mothers have a special love for their children that is unmatched on this earth. They deserve our respect. And that's what Jesus is doing by using this word. And so that's the first quality characteristic this morning is respect. God could not be any more forthright or clear than demonstrating to us that we are to treat the women in our lives with utmost respect, just as Jesus did his earthly mother. Children, teenagers, even us as adults, we need to hold our mothers in high esteem. And we need to let them know that we respect them with high regard. And if your mother is still alive today, please talk to her. And if you can visit with her, visit with her. Spend some time with her if you can. So the first quality characteristic that I want us to see today is respect. Respect the women in our lives. I want you to look with me, if you will, at Luke chapter 2. And it's going to be on the screen. It's just a couple of verses here. Verse 19 first. Verse 19 in Luke chapter 2 says, "But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them," remembering them, bringing them up, remembering them and meditating on them. Now this was following the birth of Jesus. The shepherds had come telling Joseph and Mary of the wondrous and glorious visit from the angel and the heavenly host. No doubt others had come and would be coming in too and visiting the stable. And all the events surrounding the birth of this special child, and the scripture tells us right there, Mary treasured these things. Pondering them in her heart. She kept them close to her heart. That's that love that a mother has for her child. Now look with me at the same chapter, Luke 2, verse 51, where it says, "Then he went down," he being Jesus, "went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart." Now, this was when Jesus was 12 years old, that incident, you remember. Perhaps Jesus was separated from his family, from his parents, for 3 days. And at first, Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus was perhaps disobedient or unmindful of what was going on and keeping up with them. However, once they reunited with Jesus at 12, as 12 years of age, Scripture tells us Mary kept all these things in her heart. There again is that love that we're talking about. That special love that I've mentioned earlier, that love that a mother has for her children, it's called endearment. A mother endears herself to her children. And that's our second quality characteristic that's due our mothers too. Just as Mary endeared every thought, every word, and every action in her heart, as these scriptures have told us, I believe that she did it all through Jesus' life. And folks, just as a mother endears herself to her children, every son should endear himself to his mother. Every daughter should endear herself to her mother. Every husband should do the same and endear himself to his wife, the mother of his children. You see, we should take a lesson from Mary. Look on your mother. Look to your wife. And treasure in your heart all those wonderful things. All those thoughts, every thought, every word, every action, every love, everything of love and kindness that she has displayed to you through your entire life. Endearment. You see, I see endearment as drawing every ounce and every drop of love that I possibly can to pull together to increase the value of my relationship with that person. That's endearment. Seeing everything good and wanting every possible good thing for that person. Drawing them into a special attachment with me, just as a mother does with her children. What a great example God gave us through mothers of what that means. So endearment is the second quality characteristic of a mother that we owe our mothers. We should endear ourselves to our mother as she has endeared herself to us, treasuring up all the great memories of what she's done for us all of our life. So we're talking about respect, number one. Endearment, number two. Now let's look at John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. This is what it says. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Woman," what's he saying? "Gunai, here is your son." Then he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour on, the disciple took her into his home. Now, this is a passage I referred to earlier. Jesus is hanging on the cross, about ready to die, just prior to his death. He's hanging on the cross, about to breathe his last, badly beaten. Remember, he was beaten, we think, 39 times. And they stopped at 39 because that was the law. You couldn't hit anybody 40 times with a whip because 40 was killing people. So that's how close to death he was. And then he was hanging on a cross, nailed there through his feet and through his probably his wrists, nailed there and hanging on that cross on the hot Israeli heat for 3 hours, barely able to breathe. Yet he still has the wherewithal to make provision for his mother. About to die after going through everything that he went through that morning. Jesus, near exhaustion, barely able to breathe, about to breathe his last. He looks down and he sees his mother standing there at the foot of the cross. He's the oldest of Mary's children. Joseph, Mary's husband, has long since passed away. We're not given any record of that, how that happened, or what happened or when. But it is Jesus' responsibility as the oldest son to take care of, to make provision for his mother. And so he looks down and standing there beside Mary is his youngest disciple, John. He looks at Mary and says, "Gunai, woman I highly respect, see this man? Treat him as you treated me, your firstborn son." And then he looks at John and he says, "Take care of this woman. Take care of this Gunai, woman who I respect above all others. Treat her as I showed you how. Care for her as if she were your own mother." And it tells us there in the last verse that I read, verse 27, that from that moment on, John did just that, took her into his own home. So the third quality characteristics of our mothers and do our mothers is provision. Provision. Because she has provided for us. And we need to make sure that we are making provision for our mothers. Respect, number one. Endearment, number two. And provision. These are all characteristics displayed by Mary throughout Jesus' life, and we even have them recorded in Scripture. She knew her son was special. She knew in her heart who he was. And she showed respect for him throughout his entire life. as she did this for Jesus, I believe she modeled it in front of her other children as well. Respect. Respect. And we owe that to our mothers. And because she did, Jesus returned to her the honor of the highest respect possible. Gunai, as he addressed her. The second quality that we see in Mary was endearment. And we read of two times in Scripture where it tells us that she pondered or saved up all these things, treasured these things in her heart. And another Scripture actually tells us Mary doing the same thing when the angel told her that she was to be the one to give birth to the Messiah. She treasured this in her heart. A mother's endearment of her children is unmatched on this earth. There's nothing on this earth that can compare to a mother's endearment to her children. Jesus demonstrates for us how we should attempt to emulate and reciprocate a mother's endearment to her children. This is the reason that we have the scripture for the third quality this morning, that one that I just read. Because of Mary's endearment and the way that she cared for and nurtured and raised him and provided for Jesus, that he turns while dying on the cross and addresses his mother and his youngest disciple, John. The awareness of Jesus, of Mary's provision for him, raising him, is what prompted Jesus to gather the strength right before taking his last breath, to gather the strength in dying to make provision for his mother. These are three quality characteristics displayed in the life of Mary, Jesus' mother. And because she demonstrated them throughout his life, they were returned to her by Jesus as a demonstration for you and I to understand what that means and what is due our own mothers. See, not by Jesus alone, I believe, these terms. Mary was known by these three quality characteristics by everyone who knew her. Three quality characteristics of our mother. Three quality characteristics due our mother. Ladies, respect, endearment, and provision. Thank you. And we must turn that around. And so, ladies, I'll say this. Ladies, you are once, you are twice, three times a lady. And we love you. I told Mickey I wasn't going to sing it, but I'd say it. Jesus modeled these three quality characteristics for us. His mother Mary modeled them in front of him all his life, all his earthly life. And then Jesus demonstrated for us, for you and me, he demonstrated for you and for me these same quality characteristics toward his mother. All three of these characteristics come out of a heart of love. God has a heart of love. That's why he sent his son to die for you and for me. In fact, God is love. And he has a desire for you to have a personal relationship with him. Now, while you live this earth, we saw that demonstrated. That's what baptism is. It doesn't save you. But what baptism is a picture of what's already happened inside your heart. And that's why those four were baptized today. They wanted to show the world what's already happened inside. And God wants that relationship with every one of you. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for you to ask for it. Because that relationship is the only thing that will provide an eternal life in heaven with God. And it's a free gift. You know, any gift is really free. If you have to pay for it, it's not a gift, is it? But it's a free gift. It's a gift to you from God. But just like any other gift purchased for you, if you don't accept it, you don't open it, you don't take it into what it's for, it's not really your gift. And today, the only thing stopping you from accepting God's free gift, if you've never done that, if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you may not even understand what all that means. The only thing stopping you from accepting God's free gift is you. That's it. Only you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, let me say this. There's not a greater gift you could give your mother on Mother's Day than to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to do that today? I'm going to ask you all if everyone would stand with me. We're going to enter our time of response. It's our time of invitation. We respond here to what God has been talking to us about. This is yours. You respond personally, individually. You respond to what God is talking to you about, what God's been sharing in your heart, what you've been feeling in your heart, what's God doing, what's God speaking to you. For some of you, it may be what I was just mentioning there at the end of that message, and that is that you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you haven't. There's no greater gift anywhere than that personal relationship with God. There's no greater gift you could give your mother today or do in her honor if she's no longer living than to give your life to Christ. For others, it may be something else that God has prompted in your heart as I've been speaking, or maybe even before I got up to speak, something you need to do. This altar is open. You can come up here. You can kneel and pray. You can stand and pray. We encourage you to, yes, you can pray where you're at, but sometimes it's God said, I need you to go forward. I need you to go there and pray because I need you to be a witness for somebody else. Whatever it is in your heart this morning, would you respond to God in the way He's leading, in the way He's calling you this morning? God, You are God. You are the only God. All others are idols. You have provided the only way for eternal life with You in heaven. Without accepting that free gift, every person would spend eternity in hell, in continual pain and torment. Father, I pray for someone here today that's never understood that, or never made that decision. They may understand it fully, but they've never pulled that trigger, you might say. They've never made that decision. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. That they would come forward even now, speak with Johnny or myself, and say, I want to know that when I leave this earth, I have eternal life with heaven, with God. Father, whatever decision You're laying on the hearts of people today that need to be made, some, maybe they've been estranged from their mother or not treated their mother the way they should. And we've just seen how Jesus showed us three quality characteristics due our mother. Respect, highest respect possible. Endearment. Loving her unconditionally. And then providing provision. Father, whatever it is, as You speak to our hearts, right now, this moment, in this hour, would You just pierce our hearts so we would respond to You. Those who need to come forward to pray, Lord, just send them out to come forward to pray, to be a witness for others, to be an encouragement to others, to follow with what You want and what You desire in their own lives. And we pray this in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus, who died for each one of us. Amen. You respond as God leads you.